So we start off our series here on seeing Jesus in the Old Testament. We talk about the attributes of God. And last week we did sort of the introduction and how Jesus revealed himself in scriptures. I love that passage. We're going to actually end up on Sunday, Easter morning, where it talks about on the road to Emmaus, that as Jesus is walking with the disciples and all the buzz about the resurrection, all that was going on, Jesus went and expounded from the scriptures how all these things were coming to pass, all according to the Word of God. And so we talk about the deity of Christ, that Christ is God, the second person in the Trinity. Now I warn you, this is sort of a doctrinal thing, and it's like, oh, Pastor, this isn't really kind of an exciting type of series to kind of go through. I'm just a nerd. This gets me excited. So, if I get kind of excited this morning over pulling off all these things, I'll just say, oh, there he goes, right? But this is really neat things as we look at God's Word. And God's Word sheds light on other parts of God's Word, right? That is true, is reliable. That God is who he says he is. Jesus is who he says he is. We should get excited about this, right? I mean, was it last week was the Super Bowl? Right? And one of the teams won. Right? Right? I tell you, we were getting so excited over that. Right? Me, I went home and I made chicken wings and that was the closest to the game. We didn't watch any of the game? No? We didn't even click by it? We did one. Aha! See, I watched the game. 2 seconds of it. And I think it was just Taylor Swift was all I saw on there. I don't know anything beyond that. But if we can get excited over those things, we should be excited over God's Word. All right? Like I said, I'm a nerd. Last week we talked about that. Here we have a couple ways that Jesus revealed himself to us in the Old Testament. And here we talked about, this isn't going to be a test because none of you remember this, but one of them was talking about prophecies, that we have prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled in the New Testament. We have types, right? Where we have illustrations. And I'm a visual person. So in here, Christ reveals himself in the Old Testament in these types, and we're going to see how he reveals himself those things in the New Testament. Talk about that Christ reveals himself in theophanies, where God came and appeared to the Old Testament saints in bodily form. But I'm going to start with this list backwards. Naturally, we're going to talk about the idea of these illusions. Now, this isn't illusions like magic tricks. I'm not going to be making a tiger disappear or levitate over the crowd, right? That's not the word I'm looking for here. That here we have the idea of illusion. My definition of this is when God is said to have done something or has a characterization that the New Testament attributes to Jesus Christ. And this is pretty self-explanatory. So I gave you a list. I thought about, leaving a blank and having you fill it in. I didn't know if you guys, wanted homework or not. So I filled it all in for you so you guys kind of know what's going on. But I want you to have this scripture. And there's a lot here. Right? So I may not make it through the whole list this morning. Right? Because you do want to go home and eat lunch. So if I drop this, if it starts getting late, if I start hearing rumblies and the tumblies, right? Actually, I haven't heard this for a while. Remember the old watches that used to beep? Right? At, 11 o'clock? No? And one of the churches, thank you. In one of the churches, we had a gentleman who sat right up front, right? And our service was from 11 to 12-ish, right? People always ask you, when does church get over? I'm like when the pastor's done talking. Right? Once again, I'll use football because, sports is my life. Right? People get excited over overtime. Right? When a game goes into overtime, people are like, yeah, that was a great game. How come when the pastor goes over, you're like, all right, come on. Right? But he sat up front, and right at noon, his watch would go beep, 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 beep. It didn't faze me. I didn't wrap it up, but. But we look at this and how Christ reveals himself. And like I said, this list is pretty self-explanatory,
But I think it's important for us to realize this idea that Jesus is God is foundational to the Christian faith. And in there, it encourages us, because if Jesus is who he says he is, then all the promises we have belong to us. Then nothing is too hard for, right? If he is who he says he is, the same God, Jesus who came, he's going to come again. Right? It's so imperative. Jesus is more than just a good teacher. Right? He's more than just a social justice warrior. He's more than all these things. He is God Almighty. And we live and we worship him. First thing we see that Jesus and God is the creator, right? We know Genesis 1:1. First verse of the book. It says what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I'm one who's, you know, I believe it's a literal 7 days of creation. It talks about there's morning, there's evening. We have those time frames. I'm going to get into argument this morning. But just know that whatever mode he created it in, God created it. Right? To create something from nothing takes an almighty God. Right? You know my background. I initially wanted to be a science teacher. And so I find it really interesting that you take, and you're, oh wow, you know, there was a big bang and everything happened. Yeah, the big bang was God said, let it be. And God created everything from nothing. That is cool. Actually, goes on through and we talk about how God, made the atmosphere and he filled the ocean. He created all the animals. He did all the things. One of my favorite verses is that it talks about that he made the sun and the moon and then he made the stars also. Right? Oh yeah, by the way, you know those billions of lights that's in the sky? Right? Where are really galaxies and solar systems and right? I mean, it's amazing. I love looking even at this age of my life, looking at the latest satellite's image. It's just getting exciting to see all that's out there. God made all of that. And I love that because that verse kind of reminded me of this, oh yeah, by the way, God just kind of threw the stars together, right? He made the stars also. Just kind of, it's like, wow, what an awesome God we serve, right? I mean, we're awful tiny. You know, we often sometimes get so full of ourselves, right? I am a tiny speck on a tiny speck on a tiny speck in the scope of everything. Now, I have friends of mine who are atheists, and they kind of look at this and say, what's the point of it all? You know, if I'm just a speck on a speck on a speck on a speck in this whole vastness of everything, what difference does it make, right? And this is where Christ makes all the difference in our lives. Sure, I'm a speck, and I'm a speck, and I'm a speck, and I'm a speck. But God knows my name. And he looks through all of that, and he knows you. Right? He knows how many hairs are on your head. And for some of you, like me, right, that changes every day. Right? It's a changing number. And yet, he knows us. So there is no insignificance. Right? The God of the universe knows my name. That is cool. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Job tells us that the Spirit of God has made me. And the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Right? Job, in his suffering, all that's going on, he realized that it was God who was his creator. Right? He's not just the creator of creation, but he created you. When he knit you together in the womb of your mother, he knew what color eyes you would have. He knew how tall you would be. He knew all about you, and he loves you. Not only that, but Job here reminds us that the breath of the Almighty gives me life, right? It's an ongoing. The life I have today comes from God. He sustains me. I was able to get up this morning by the power of God. He keeps me. You know, I shared with you guys that, you know, when I was younger, I grew up in church, but I was probably more of a deist. A deist kind of has the idea that God created the universe, kind of wound the clock and just kind of lets it go. That God's impersonal, right? He sets all the laws of physics and everything goes. Job blows that out of the water. God's a personal God. You know, we only have to worry about mankind blowing up this world. God's in control, right? We're here to be good stewards with what God has given us. But I don't think we need to be fearful because God is in control. And I just, you know, watching the news, it's just so full of anxiety. Christian, rest in God. Trust in Him. He is the Creator who is involved in His creation. So this is the Old Testament passage. Just turn around in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Right? John starts us off talking about the Word, right? We have the Father God, then we have the Word. The Word is the revelation, right? He is the revealing of God the Father. So John picks up this theme, and if you follow this chapter down, you read this, and you find, well, who is this Word? And it's Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so according to John, that the Word, right, Jesus created all things. All things were created by Him. Well, wait a minute. It's the Genesis in the beginning, what? God created. Well, if God created all things, and the Bible says that Jesus created all things, guess what? Jesus is God. That's what we talk about by is being alluded to. Right? And scriptures are full. I mean, these are just some of the lists that I gave you this morning. There's many more where we see God behaving and doing something in the Old Testament and Jesus fulfilling those things. Colossians tells us, it says, by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He's before all things, and in Him all things what consist. My heart pumps because of Jesus. The breath I have comes from Him. And it blows my mind because we live in a world that has turned its back on its Creator. And yet God is still the one who sustains them, gives them life. What a merciful God we have. You know, all the prayers we give up for all these sicknesses and stuff. Right? He is the designer. He is the Creator. And nothing is too hard for Him if it be His will. So we come before Him and ask for our healing, our restoration. I shared with you, there was a surgeon that was up in Bangor, a teacher, and I remember listening to him talk, and he talked about how surgeons often get very arrogant, right? They have people's lives in their hands, and they're making these decisions and restoring. And here is this wise surgeon who turns around and he reminds them, he goes, as a surgeon, all you can do is cut and sew. It's God who heals and mends. And he says, never forget that. It is God who is the giver and keeper of life. And it's precious from conception till death. All because of God. In Colossians says, it's Jesus who is these things. Once again, if God is Creator, Jesus is Creator. Jesus is God. The book of Isaiah talks about being the first and the last. Right? We say from A to Z, right? That we talk about our alphabet, right? God is the beginning of all things. He is the end of all things. He is contained. Everything is contained within Him. Isaiah 41 says this. It says, He who performed it and done it, calling the generations from the beginning, I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am He. All things start with God. He is the Creator of all things. He is the end. He is the judge of all things. Everything in between is all because of Him. Isaiah picks this up later on in chapter 44. It says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. And we see this theme all throughout, that there is no other God. Right? There's not a pantheon of various gods up in heaven. There is one God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And He's the beginning of all things. All things are contained by Him. He is the ruler of all these things. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation starts off, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says, I am the Alpha and Omega. That's our A to Z, right? The Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last alphabet. He is the A to Z. The beginning and the end, says the Lord, who was and who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. As Jesus describes himself as the Lord, as he describes himself as the beginning and the end. If God is the beginning and the end, and Jesus is the beginning and the end, guess what? Jesus is God. I mean, it's really easy for you. The end of the book. Right? You ever get discouraged? Take a peek at the end of the book. Because God wins. Amen? It says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. And to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It's interesting. The Bible starts with God creating. In the beginning was God. Book of Revelation ends with Jesus saying, I am God. And because of that, nothing is beyond his control. He is all. If you have Jesus, you have everything, folks. Right? All the stuff in the world, it's going to fade. It's going to go away. You know, I had my truck up and I was trying to replace some parts. And I don't know if you've ever been underneath one of your vehicles, but Maine has a thing called rust. And things get pretty solid. Actually, a couple parts, the bolts were so bad, I had to take out a cutter and cut. I want a torch, but my wife won't let me play with fire. She's afraid I'll blow myself up. So I got grinders and, you know, making sparks and doing all kinds. Just cutting away, trying to get to the part I need to get to, and then replace it all with new stuff. Right? All this stuff is going to rot. It's going to go. And I was thinking, well, okay, my truck now has 160,000 miles on it. Get about what, around here, about 15,000 to 20,000 miles a year. You know, so I probably got about another 2 years. I'll get 200,000 miles. But the rust ratio is going faster than that. So will the motor give out first before the rust does? And I've drawn all the calculations in my head. And then I was like, just for fun, because you know how this works, right? You talk about this stuff, and all of a sudden, Facebook starts giving you ads for things. So now I'm getting ads for new trucks. And I'm looking at the prices for these new trucks that are going to rust and going to, right? And I've decided that I'm in the market now for a goat. I'm going to have a little goat cart, and I'll look like some herder from the Ukraine going down the road. So pray for your pastor as he's going down through. You know that I'll become Amish. I haven't decided yet. Right? But all this stuff, right? All we work for, it goes. None of it is permanent. Prestige. In one of the churches we were at, they had collected all the plaques of all the things that people had donated over the years. And the church was a little younger than this one, but well over 100 years old. And we had pulled out these plaques of people who had donated stuff, and I asked sort of the elders of the church, who, and we went through. 99 of the people who were listed on those plaques, guess what? No one had any clue who they were. No clue. Right? You may seem like you're important, but if the Lord tarries, here comes the encouraging part, Pastor, right? People are going to forget you. Right? You know, Lord tarries 30 years from now, they'll say, Pastor, who? Right? And it's like, huh? And folks, we don't put our stock in all those things. But it's Jesus Christ who is the beginning and the end. He controls it all. He sustains it all. Live for him. This is one of my favorite. I'm going to break this down a little bit. But he talks about the I am. In Exodus chapter 3, right? Talking about Moses is in the wilderness. You guys probably know the story. Actually, it was interesting. We had an opportunity just last year, right? We saw Moses down in Sight and Sound. And it was interesting how they were going to portray this. And it was pretty awesome what they did. But Moses is out in the wilderness, right? He had fled from Egypt 40 years ago. And God is calling him here. He's roughly 80 years old. So some of you say you're getting around the block a few times.
You're just a young chick, right? God's going to use you.
And so at 80 years old, he goes out and there's the burning bush. And the voice of God comes out of that burning bush. And this is the dialogue they have. Verse 3 says, "And Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of my fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" I am, I am. I'm kind of old. This always reminds me of Popeye. I am what I am. Most of you have no clue what I'm talking about. But I am who I am. Isaiah picks this up. It says, "Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, and that turn I am. I am the first, I'm also the last." But this declaration of I am. Now, this is where I get sort of geeky, all right? So I apologize in advance, but this stuff is really cool. When he says, "I am," actually what this is we have the Hebrew letters. And this is called a tetragrammaton. Right? Next party, if it starts dying down, just say, "What's your thoughts on the tetragrammaton?" And the party will just pick right up. Works for me and all my friends. Yeah, right. Right? But this is so cool because what we have is these four letters. And in ancient Hebrew, they didn't have the vowels, right? So in here, people just knew how to pronounce these things. Well, over the years, something happened that the Jews became very protective, right? Because they were afraid of taking God's name in vain, so they would not pronounce the name. So over the course of history, we've lost how you pronounce this. I mean, I could be really smart and say, "Okay, look at these Hebrew letters. How would you pronounce that?" Does anyone here know Hebrew? Oh, okay, there you go. Well, I'll talk to Brian. He'll tell us how to pronounce this. I tried to take some Hebrew. I have a hard time with English. I speak mostly American, and even that's pretty poor. I just remember the Hebrew teacher saying that when you speak Hebrew, you should be spitting on people. So it's all, you know, that's probably the language of it. But we don't know the pronunciation of it. Pulling it back, these letters actually come from a form of the word to be. Now, who is all into English? Who likes it, right? English teachers? Grammar freaks? All right, we got one hand going up. All right. But the verb to be, this is where we say, "I am," "I was," "I will be," right? "We are," "we were," right? That the verb to be, we translate that as "I am." Therefore, when the translators brought this in, "What is your name?" He says, "I am. I am what I want to be. I will do what I want to do." God is all containing. He is the I am. Notice when we looked at Jesus, he said, "What? I was the one who was, who is, and is to come." He is the great I am. He is the self-sufficient one. He needs no one else to compete with him, no one else to complete him. He is the I am, the ever-present one. That is so cool. But it gets even more, Pastor. Tell us more. Okay, I will. Thank you. It turns out, you know, how old you are. Where and what kind of church you grew up in. Have you ever heard that dialogue? Is this the name Jehovah? Right? How many of you have heard the name Jehovah? All right, most of your names. Right? How many of you guys, sorry, your younger crew, Yahweh? Right? Wait a minute, how do you pronounce this? Right? We tell you we don't know. Right? Because the vowels have been taken out. Traditionally, what has happened is that because we don't use that term, right, they didn't want to pronounce the name of God. So often what would happen is they would substitute, they would call it Adonai. Adonai means Lord. Here's a really cool thing, because I think all Bible translations do this, if not most of them do. If you're going through your Old Testament and you see a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, right? All capital letters. That is the Tetragrammaton. And that's how we translated it over. If you have capital L, little O, little R, and little D, chances are it's Adonai, and G-O-D is usually Elohim. Right? It's not, but as a general rule, as you're English, you can kind of go, hey, wow. And once you kind of get that in your head, your eyes kind of open up and say, oh, wow. He's talking about the I Am. He's talking about the Lord. So we don't know how he really is pronounced. And so what happened was that later on, the translators wanted to pronounce it, and so we don't know really how it was pronounced. So what they did was took the vowels off of Adonai, right? And that would be O, the A, O, I, right? And put that into this, and it became Jehovah. Now, technically, Hebrew doesn't really have a J sound, right? For instance, if you were going to say like Joshua, it was Yahshua or Yeshua. And so when it became in Latin, they put the J sound in there. So that's, right? So we don't say, so I know I do, when I say Joshua, I say Joshua, right? I don't say it with a Y, I say it with a J because of that Latin influence. So I grew up with hearing Jehovah. And somewhere along the line, the scholars are like, no, that doesn't really seem right. And so they started pronouncing it Yahweh. It's the same vowels, the same consonants with just different vowel soundings. The truth is, we really don't know. Right? I say Jesus. I say Lord. And God understands that. Right? So whether it's Jehovah, that's what I grew up on, Jehovah Jireh, right? Lord, our provider, all these Jehovah names of God, that's what I grew up with. But maybe your Bible says Yahweh. I just want you to know it's still the same thing. It's just basically how would you understand how you pronounce it is different, but it is the same term. Aren't you glad I spent that time this morning to tell you about that? Woohoo! I can tell the excitement in the room is just palatable. But it's exciting to see what is in God's Word. And there's so much that if we can dig into it and understand, it opens our eyes. Because the more it opens our eyes, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more you know God's word, the stronger your faith becomes. I believe that with all my heart. You can study the Bible your whole life and discover something new in it all the time. But the fact is, Jesus is the I Am. Take a look here. This is in the book of John. So we talk about in the Old Testament, right, revealed himself. What's your name? Is the I Am. In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus does a really interesting thing here, because who is he talking about? He goes, I am, but he's using that verbiage of the Old Testament, of the great I Am. Jesus is saying, I am. The I Am. And if you don't believe that, take a look at the response of the Pharisees who were there. So then they took up, what, stones to throw at him. Well, again, why are they trying to stone him? Because they accused him of blasphemy. Because Jesus, being a man, declared himself God. That Jesus took that title of I Am, taken from Moses, and declared it for himself. And they were going to kill him for blasphemy. So they understood what Jesus was saying. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. It wasn't time for Jesus to die, and he passed right through the crowd. What a mighty God we serve. He is the great I Am, which I find interesting in here, that we have this miracle of Jesus able to walk through. Why? Because he is the I Am he just said he was. Do you see that? Right? The crowd had no power over him. Why? Because Jesus was the I Am. No one was going to take him before his time. All right. I'm excited. Take a look here in John chapter 18. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? This is after the upper room. This is the night before the crucifixion. John chapter 18. And he answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. The scene is the Judas comes with the soldiers to get Jesus. And they come to the garden, and Judas had agreed to betray Jesus with a kiss. And so they come in through, and Jesus asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And they answered him, said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said to them, "I am he." Now, it's interesting because we say, okay, yeah, I say, "You're looking for?" I'm he, right? I'm him. But it's interesting, the verbiage is important here because Jesus kind of sneaks this in. He says, "I am." And look what happens. And Judas, who had betrayed him, also stood with them. And when he had said, "What? I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. That is neat. You know, we have these points where Jesus was 100% man. He was 100% God. And here we have this point where a little bit of God's glory kind of pops out of Jesus. Who are you looking for? The I am. Right? I am he. And when he says those words, "I am," it knocks the soldiers on their butts. Why? Because they're in the presence of the Holy God. Right? Moses, before the burning bush, "Take off your sandals because you are on holy ground." At that moment, it was as if the soldiers were on that holy ground in the presence of God, and they were knocked down all through the words, "I am he." So all these things, we look at the personal name of God. Who should I say who sent me is the great I am. Jesus himself declares himself, he is the great I am. Notice in both cases, he does this, is when the crowds are trying to take him, they're trying to take control of him, and yet he is in control. Folks, I'm glad I worship the great I am. That nothing can happen in your life without the authority of the great I am of Jesus Christ. If you belong to him, you've given your life to him, you are safe within the throes, within the hands, within the shelter of the great I am. All those things we just talked about are contained in Jesus Christ. Woo! Right? Okay, yeah, no. All right. This is cool stuff! And what? We only covered, what, three? And it's lunchtime. I'm going to do one more, and then I'll let you go. My daughter's like, "Dad!" All right, this should be quick. He is the judge of all. Genesis 18 says, "Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" This is Abraham, as God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he dickers down and says, if there's 50 righteous, if there's 20 righteous, if there's 10 righteous. And he calls upon God as the judge of all. Shouldn't the judge, the one who's going to judge all things, judge rightly? Psalms picks this up as well. It says, "For he is coming," right, talking about the Lord. "For he is coming to judge the earth. And he shall judge the world with righteousness and people with his truth." We're told this all throughout the Old Testament. God is going to judge. He's going to judge the world. Today, folks, as we look what's going on, I want to rest assured, I want to encourage you. He said, "Pastor, you're getting wound up again." Right? This is cool, right? That we turn around. At the end of the day, if you're fearful, you watch the news, and it seems like the wrong is winning. Rest assured, they will give an account to the judge of all the earth. All those who have responsibilities, all those who are given power and prestige, will have to give an account for what they did. Out of Augusta, out of Washington, they will stand before the Almighty God, the judge of all the earth, and have to give an account for everything they did. What a fearful day that's going to be. Yet we're told in the New Testament says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing of his kingdom. Timothy tells us it's Jesus Christ who's going to judge the living and the dead. Hello. Sounds like I'm shaving up here. All right. John 5 says, for as the Father has life in himself and has granted the Son to have life in him, he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Jesus Christ has given the authority to judge this world. Every tongue will confess, every knee will bow to the glory of the Father, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right? Do not be ashamed of Jesus Christ, because he's the judge before all. That they will all have to give an account to him, the one we worship, the one we serve, the one we cling to. Don't give up. Evil is running amok for a season. When we see these things, Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, don't be alarmed, because the end is near. Folks, when we see these things, it's all necessary for all these things to happen. Don't give up hope. Don't drop the ball. Press on. Because we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christians, he paid the judgment for us. Amen. He's declared me righteous. He has forgiven me. Not because I deserve it, because of what he did on the cross. The judge has declared me clean. Woo! I'm sorry. All right. I'm going to stop right there. We got some other things to do. I'll decide whether or not I'm going to finish this up next week. We got your list. You can do the rest. I encourage you to look up these verses, because the Bible is just so clear of what Jesus fulfilled in all these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as we look into your word, Lord, encourage us, strengthen us with these facts, Lord, that Jesus is God. Without a shadow of a doubt. Lord, he's more than just a good teacher, Lord. He's more than just a philosophy. Lord, he's more than just a social justice warrior. But Jesus is God. And we worship him. Lift his name on high. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. Lord, help us walk out of here knowing you, clinging to you, trusting you. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.